Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we're here for our office hours call for the month of October 2018. And these are the calls where all of our groups get together. I really like it because all of our groups are together in one call. It's the office hours. So whether you're in ERC, body freedom, body balance, thyroid, adrenal, blood sugar, gut, whatever, if you have still have access to your office hours calls, which you usually get for like 3 or 4 months or 5 months or 6 months or 9 months, depending on which program you join, or a year, you have access to this call. So it's a place where we can come together and you can ask me questions, you can get support, you can share celebrations, whatever it is that's on your mind that you need help with for whatever you're working through right now with your own health. So, again, I'm going to reiterate, some of you are practitioners on the line, and that's wonderful, but this is a call for you. So if you have questions, I don't want to hear questions that say, my mother this, or my patient that, or my client the other thing. I want to hear is for me. So this is your opportunity to get your needs met. So for those of you in our practitioner program, I know that you know that what's an important part of our programs together is that we provide you with tools for impeccable self-care, tools for clinical excellence, and tools to get your business and reach the right people so that we can change the world together. Yay! So when you get on to ask a question, whether you're typing in your question into the chat or the Q&A, or you're coming on the line, let me know which program you're in. So it gives me an idea of what resources you have access to. So if you're asking a question and you're in a thyroid program, for example, I'm not going to tell you about a resource that's only available to ERC members or adrenal members or whatever. So just let me know what that program is. There's a couple of ways that you can get support. I'm going to look at the Q&A first because that's where we gave people access to before the call started. So if ever you have questions or something you want to review with me that you just need help with and you can't make it to the call, go ahead and just type it in the chat in the Q&A box, which is usually the link that's in the email that goes out to remind you. While you're on the call, you can type into that, and those questions come in. It's a one-way street, so I can see them, but I can't reply to you there, and other people can't see it. So if you have something that's more of a personal level that you don't really want to be identified, or you just put it in there, hey, keep my name private, this is my question, and then I'll know that I don't, want to identify you. That's totally fine. But most people just don't care, and we have open conversations back and forth. The chat allows us to open converse back and forth with each other. So if someone says something and you have a resource, or you can ask a question and you have a good solution as well, you can type it into there and help support each other, because that's what we're here for. We're here to be a community united with a common goal of supporting our own health and the health of our loved ones through means that are maybe not the traditional Western medicine approaches. That has to do with self-care, that has to do with nutrition, that has to do with attitude and sleep and all those other great things that we talk about. So whatever you have questions about, go for. I'm going to go in and take a look in the Q&A advance. And, oh, and the third way is raise your hand. The third and my favorite way is when I actually get to talk to real people. So raise your hand with a *2 on your telephone keypad. Or if you've called in via the web call, there should be a little box that says raise hand, and you can do that. And raise your hand, and I'll get to you. So I see two questions already. I see Marsha and Gizzy, Carolyn. I guess I can't never tell which is the first name, which is the last name. And then I see Cell Phone Ontario, which might be Mary. Okay, so Q&A. Okay, I'm going to see all questions and refresh, and it looks like there were some questions that were submitted in advance. Nikki from Anchorage, oh, my God, it's just started pouring so hard outside. It's like the trees are blowing, and it's freezing. It's like 43 degrees. So Nikki is in body balance. I don't have a primary care physician, and for whatever reason, I've been unable to get my personal coaching call. I took it upon myself to order some legs from Direct Labs. My fatigue levels are making my life miserable, and I can barely get through the day. So first of all, I want you to reach out to Lynn. There's a place on the Body Balance site where you can schedule your coaching call, and you fill out a form. It's called our Getting to Know You form, and then you can you submit that, and that will prompt one of our coaches, usually it's Lynn, to get in touch.
This is Lynn. I finally just got on. Who put that in there?
Nikki Wilde. from Alaska.
Yeah, I've reached out to her a couple of times, so I'll do it again.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
So what she says is her fatigue levels are making life miserable and can barely make it through the day. Free T4 came back at 2.5. In our ideal world, you know, when we look at labs, you've heard me say this, many of you, so many times before, the ranges that the lab gives is normal range. And normal ranges are really averages of the people that come to the lab. So I always tell people I do not want to be normal in a society where most people are sick. So the normal range for free T3 is, you know, somewhere starts around 2.3 to 2.5. So you're within the normal range. But the ideal range starts at 3.0. And free T3 is the hormone that is the active thyroid hormone. That's the hormone that actually stimulates the cells to affect the metabolic rate. So came back at 2.5, which is low. Her free T4 is 1.0, which is right on the cusp of being in the ideal range. So on the low end of the ideal range, but the free T3 is much lower, which says to me that there's an issue that your body's having difficulty converting T4 to T3. So what does that mean? Well, there's a number of factors that get in the way. I'm going to look at some of the other things. TSH is 0.89, and I don't know if you're on thyroid medication, so that would make a difference as to how I'll answer, and I'll answer in both ways. Usually I only see, the reason I say that is usually I only see TSH below 1, below 1 in people who are on thyroid medication. It's rare in people who are not, unless they have hyperthyroidism, but your other numbers indicate a hypo tendency. So would want to know that. Vitamin D is 44, which is low, and especially if you have some thyroid issues. So I would say that we need to work on the vitamin D first and foremost. You want to get that vitamin D level up. So whether or not you're taking vitamin D now would determine, that's why I like to talk on the phone with people, right, would determine how much vitamin D you might want to take to supplement that. So if you're not taking any vitamin D, and your vitamin D is 44, that's actually pretty good. I'd probably recommend that you take about 5,000 IUs of vitamin D and then retest yourself in 3 months to see if it comes up. Vitamin D can have a huge effect on your energy production. And, of course, thyroid's going to have a huge effect. You can barely make it through the day because of fatigue. A lot of things can go into fatigue. It could be your thyroid. It could be your adrenals. It could be your blood sugar imbalance. It could be some gut imbalance, right? So a lot more needs to be here, and you really, I'd love to have you schedule your call, fill out the form, and schedule your call with Lynn so she can really help you dig deep with this. But for now, increase your vitamin D. If you're not taking any vitamin D right now at 44, I would say then just add 5,000 IUs, and you probably get yourself up there in a good state. If it just inches up a little bit, then but it's coming up. Like if at 3 months you test it again and it's 65, then I'd still take the 5,000 and test it again in 3 months. And you want to really get it to that point where it's somewhere between 75 and 100. Elimination diet every day just to avoid constipation. Not sure what that really means in terms of what you're eating. But let me go back to the vitamin D. If you are taking vitamin D right now and you're at 44, if you're taking, let's say, under 5,000 right now, I would increase it to at least 5,000, maybe 7,000. If you're taking 5,000, then I would probably up it to 7,000 to 10,000. If you're already taking 10,000, I'd probably up it to 12,000 to 15,000. Right. If you're already taking 15 or 20, it probably means you have really serious vitamin D absorption issues, and you may have some genetic SNPs that cause that. I would up it. I would probably, if you're on vitamin D already, I'd probably up your vitamin D by 50 to 100%. Now, in terms of the thyroid, right, we want to test, you have to test to see if you have antibodies, thyroid antibodies. That would be TPO, thyroid peroxidase, and antithyroglobulin. We want to find out why. Why is your thyroid not producing properly? Two problems. You're on the low end of producing T4, but we don't also have the total T4, so we don't know that. So when we get a full thyroid panel, it gives me an idea of where the breakdown may be happening. So I would recommend that you go back to the lab and get a total T4 and also the thyroid antibodies, thyroid peroxidase, TPO, and antithyroglobulin. you are having some difficulties with converting from T4 to T3. So I'm going to ask the question is, are you currently on thyroid medication or not? If you're not on thyroid medication and your TSH is that low with those low numbers on your thyroid hormones, you might be looking at a pituitary issue. Okay, and in Body Balance, in the thyroid module, which I think is module 5, there's a really cool document, and I'm going to say this so Lynn can talk to you about it when she gets you on the phone, but there's a cool document where you can look up your lab tests in a column, and depending on what things are out of balance, it gives you some ideas of the diet, lifestyle, supplement approaches to help bring them in balance. If you are on no thyroid medication right now with these numbers, I'd be taking a look to see what's going on with your pituitary, which means I would be looking at how are your adrenals functioning. Are you under a lot of stress? That can be a huge, huge, huge issue here. Okay? So looking at your adrenals, getting the more full thyroid panel done, like we just mentioned, the TPO, the antithyroglobulin, and the total T4, in addition to, I would redo these others at the same time just to see what the whole picture looks like. I would up your vitamin D and to, like I said, depending on whether you're taking or not, and then in 3 months, retest it. As far as elimination diet, you have constipation, so I would be looking at these things, keep the elimination diet going, but start module 2 in Body Balance, which is gut, and just start working through step by step to figure it out. Oftentimes, constipation is caused by low stomach acid, but it could be a liver issue, it could be a fiber issue, an intake, so without seeing exactly what you're eating, that's hard to tell. But that's what the private call is about, and we'll get on with you and help you there. All right. Barbara's probably off to bed by now because she lives in Europe, but, you are on. Hey, I can hear you, but my chat doesn't work. I'll see if it will change. Thank you again for Saturday. You do incredible work and have so much knowledge. You are very welcome, and I'm so glad you were able to be on there, Barbara. I hope I can integrate a lot of what you say into my life. At the moment, though, I'm a bit stressed with all that's happening and I only have very little spare time for ERC. Hope that will change soon. I hope that does, too. And here's the thing, Barbara. Prioritize it. Let's, like, take, okay, what do I have to do? Go through the processes we take you through, especially just go through the body freedom stuff and incorporate the little bits of stuff that we're giving you month by month, week by week, month by month, step by step. It's a slow process, but you will make those changes. And we're going to be going in a few, I think probably next month or the month after, we'll be doing the food elimination diet. We'll be doing this month eating for gut health. So I would just focus on that and do those pieces, just the little pieces. Don't feel like you have to take in the whole program, right? You got some ideas from me the other day based on your labs, and just work through it one step at a time, one step at a time. We're creating habits for life here. We are not here to do temporary changes. We're here for creating habits for life. And habits for life are not the 30-day quick weight loss diet. It's not the 30-day quick fatigue diet. It's the long term. Okay. So Marsha wants to do a mini cleanse. So mini cleanse is for people in Vital, the Vital community. We have what we call mini cleanse. We do it every couple of weeks. And we just say, okay, pick day or two this week, one or two days, depending on you, to just keep your intake down. So what you do is you can either juice, you can do a water fast, you can do a smoothie-only cleanse, or you could do protein powders. I don't think the protein powders are a problem. I think the nuts and seeds probably are too heavy. So I would say you can do a 24-hour or you can do a 48-hour, whichever one you want to do. And the idea behind that is to just give your body a temporary rest. So whatever it is, if you just go from eating solid foods to blending everything, that's going to work for you. It's going to be a cleanse. If you want the most severe cleanse, do a 24-hour water fast. That could be really awesome, right? So you determine. The reason to stay away from nuts and seeds is because those put a lot of fat load on the liver. But I don't see a problem with sometimes we'll do just a protein powder cleanse. It's all you do is just take protein powders, maybe some green powder with it, and some green juices with it, right? So you can take green juice, put some protein powder in, and you can do it. Or you could just do green juices for 24 hours, or you could do just water. Yep. Okay. So I'm going to look to see who's got their hands up. who's got their hands up. So Marsha has her hands up, so we can clarify on the cleanse. Hey, Marsha.
Oh, hey. No, I don't have my hands up anymore, but you did say I should take supplements.
You can, yeah. You know, it's just a one-day cleanse. It's different when you're doing a longer. It's totally up to you. Sometimes people like to get off of all supplements during a 24-hour cleanse just to give their body a break from it. And, you know, sometimes we find, like, little hidden food intolerances in supplements. Like, you go off your supplements, you go, why do I feel better off my supplements? That's kind of weird, right? And if that happens, then I would tend to want to put the supplements back in one at a time. But, you know, a mini cleanse is just really totally up to the person. Like I said, it could be 24 hours of or 48 of water only. It could be just juices. It could be just protein powder with, you know, I like to do protein powder with green powder, but totally up to you. But, yeah, you can do your supplements or not, whatever you, you know, trust your intuition.
My supplements make me burp, and I think I do better off them, but I know we'll talk about this Wednesday in my private, but maybe other people are having the same problem. Like, I feel like my supplements are increasing my indigestion.
Yeah, so here's what then do. Then stay off of them for the 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
And then just add them back one at a time over the course of the next few days.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you have some that you might suspect more than others, then add those back, you know, more separately. If there's some you go, I've been taking these for years, these don't make me burp, I know it, you know, then just go ahead and add them, but see, right, see how it goes. And you can just do this regularly, so you can do it this time and just add them two at a time if you think it's going to take too long to add them back one at a time. You can add them back two at a time and then say, oh, I was fine until I added these two. Well, it's one of these two, now you know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So play with it, and let's just use it to help you to personalize your program, and we'll talk a lot more detail on Wednesday.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Carolyn in New York City. Caroline in New York City.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. So I'm in your Thyroid and Revive program, and you helped me a lot like a month ago. We looked at my blood work online, and my numbers were like off the charts with the hypothyroidism you diagnosed me with.
Yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of like you recommended a lot of the medical medium techniques. I drink celery juice every morning. That's drastically helped. The heavy metal detox smoothie that he has really helps a lot. So I'm like really improved in the past month. So I don't really have a lot of the hypothyroidism like symptoms. Like, I only had the puffy eyes, and I had just kind of, you know, like, the bloated kind of feel. But I'm not lethargic. I don't have any fatigue issues. I have crazy amounts of energy. So I'm trying to figure out, I think I really have, a bad gut issue from what I've been, you know, trying to figure out food-wise. Like, if I don't take a probiotic, my body just goes up in flames. I just, like, kind of feel all those things. So I'm just going to try and figure out which vitamins I should take at certain times. I know you recommended like an enzyme on the chart, on the module 5.
Yeah.
So yes, I know I'm like throwing a lot
with
at
your meals, right? Do you have any joint pains or allergies?
No, like not anymore. Yeah. No, I did have some joint pain, but if I know I get the joint pain if I don't take the probiotic.
Okay, so there's definitely gut imbalance there, right? And that's leading to toxicity and inflammation. So when you say take probiotics, do you take a supplement of them or do you take food?
No, like a supplement. I have like this one that I get from like the health food store. It has pre and probiotic in it. And then I ordered the two, I don't know if you recommended two separate enzymes or it's one enzyme together, the protease and the bromelain, I think, or something.
Oh, that was for inflammation. So you had some kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. That would you would take on your stomach. That would you take between meals.
So is that like both of them combined in one pill
yeah,
or two separate ones?
You could do it either way, whatever you combined.
Okay, so how often should I take that?
I would take it between meals.
Between meals?
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah,
how many a day?
Stomach. It depends. I mean, some people with really serious, like, you know, had hip surgeries and their hip flares up, they'll take 8 of them 3 times a day.
Oh, okay.
But that's, you know, and then a typical dose is 1-2 between meals. People with cancer, again, they may take 12 of them 2 or 3 times a day.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
But I would say, you know, play with it and see. Take one. twice a day, then take two twice a day, and just play with the numbers to see if you feel, oh, that feels better, oh, I feel a little better there. And then you get to a plateau and you go, well, I didn't feel any better with adding more. Let's go back to the one that gave you the most results in terms of, you know, pain.
Okay, so you think I should take that and the probiotic, that one, both of that, or do you think the enzyme is better?
Well, probiotic's different. So probiotic is replenishing the gut flora,
like
bacteria in your gut. That enzyme is bringing
right.
inflammation.
So, okay.
I would say, you know, in looking at foods, because people say, well, I don't think I should have to take a probiotic every day. Well, yeah, you should, or eat probiotic-containing foods. Because every indigenous culture has some sort of fermented food, probiotic-containing food that they eat on a regular basis to help keep the gut flora going. We in the United States, the closest we get is Danone killed off bacteria yogurt, which doesn't
right.
mean anything, right? So,
yeah.
You know, you can learn to make them. You can learn to, you know, there's so many sauerkrauts on the market. There's so many yogurts, you know, non-dairy yogurts out on the market these days. It's like finding one that really works. The ones I like that have, the one that has the most live cultures I've found is Coco Yo. It's a coconut yogurt that you can buy.
Coco,
and
yeah.
you can bake it, too. So all of that stuff can be really, really beneficial. But we do want to have a regular basis. Like today, my lunch was a big bowl of seaweed with a half a jar of sauerkraut in it. Right? And, yesterday morning I had coconut yogurt, right? And then sauerkraut for dinner. So I eat the probiotic containing foods. So when you feel better when you eat probiotic containing foods, then what's happening is you're replenishing and feeding the good flora. It means that you need it, that your body has either a low amount of the good stuff or a high amount of the not so good stuff or both going on. And that probiotic
okay.
is going to help you. So it's good you found one that works. Sometimes it takes trying two or three or four different brands and experimenting with different foods to find it. So lucky you, you found one that works. So I would keep taking that. I like to take the probiotics like first thing in the morning, last thing at night.
Okay.
Those work really well. And then you can take your proteolytic enzymes in between your meals and your regular enzymes with your meals. And eventually, you
okay.
know, you get things balanced. You shouldn't have to keep doing it forever, but you would want to have a source of probiotic-containing foods in your diet pretty much every day, as much as you can.
Okay, and I'm also taking magnesium and zinc, and I keep hearing about selenium everywhere.
Well, I don't remember your numbers exactly, but the selenium is super important for active turning P4 into P3.
Yeah, I don't have a conversion problem.
Okay.
I remember that.
Yeah,
just
so
the
selenium,
inflammation.
I take some Brazil nuts. They're a really good source of selenium, and they've been shown in a lot of studies to help people with thyroid dramatically. So
okay.
Brazil nuts, you know, and it doesn't have to be like, I have to take my Brazil nuts every day. The two of them, that's my supplement. No, you can have Brazil nut milk one day and not have Brazil nuts again for two or three days. You can have a few here and there. But on a regular basis, on average, for maintenance, one to two a day, on average.
Okay. Is there any specific time that stuff should be taken, or just take
meal?
It at once, or
when you feel like
with food?
It's food. Brazil nuts are food. So as far as
okay, yeah, no, I'm saying like zinc and stuff like that.
You know, that if you have the best forms of minerals, tend to be the liquids. I really like the liquids because they get absorbed
okay.
really well. And when you do that, I usually like to have them relatively empty stomach, you know, so there's no food in there for them to compete with. And with a little bit of something acidic, whether it's lemon juice or vitamin C powder or apple cider vinegar, something a little acidic to help them get absorbed. So you could do that in the morning. You could take that before your probiotics, and then you could take your probiotics. That would work.
Okay.
Magnesium are not great together. You may want to have
what
one
is?
In the morning. Zinc and magnesium are not great to take.
Oh, okay.
They can interfere with each other.
Okay. I just have one quick last question. I know you have, like, the T-TAP, the certain exercises for thyroid. Do you recommend, like, I was a big Orange Theory person. You know Orange Theory?
Orange Theory? No.
Orange Theory. It's like a workout place. Kind of.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So I don't know. I mean, the weights and the whole thing. Do you think it's going to be too much if I go back to that with the thyroid, like overdoing it? Or should I still
Like if your adrenals are walked out, your body will know it. So I'd start with, if you've been away from it for a while, start with a 10-minute workout. I know that may seem like really strange, but 10-minute workout.
Okay.
and then do a 15, and then do a 20. And if you have, which is very common with thyroid issues, is adrenal issues, if you overdo it, even if you just do like 30 minutes of exercise, you can just feel like drained and depleted
okay.
two or three days. If
okay.
that's the case, you overdid it. Just find that sweet spot. What's the right amount of exercise that leaves you feeling good but doesn't deplete you? Because we don't want to go without exercise because
right.
not moving
okay.
is definitely detrimental. Okay?
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Good luck. Thank you. Bye.
And can you share what it was that you were not to take magnesium with?
Zinc.
You were talking fast, and I missed it. Zinc. Okay, zinc.
Yeah. All right. So Cell Phone Ontario, is that Mary?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm just taking you off the speakerphone here. Okay, not too bad. Thanks. Thanks for asking. It's always nice to be here with you. Okay, so I have some news and have I guess your opinion that I need and some questions, but we'll take each of them one at a time. You know, I always have questions. First off, I just wanted to kind of give you a sort of an update as to what's been going on kind of lately and just kind of see your perspective in terms of what help I could get or advice I can get from you. So you've obviously know what's going on with the last year with me. And there was some sort of like bad news, and then there was some good news, and then there was some kind of bad news because I got into the motorcycle vehicle accident, as you know.
You had a broken ankle?
I had a broken ankle. Yeah, you know, all that's kind of on the mend and whatever the case is. But so I ended up doing, like, we've been doing regular routine check as an internal for the endometrial thing. And so, and since we had good news in March with the DNC, and then we had good news in June with just, a spot check kind of thing with a regular scrape, and then there was the accident. And then the gyno and I decided we're going to follow up every 3 months. And so September was the third month after June's testing, and it came out the same as the first time last year.
Which was, this was for the pap smear? Or was it for the...
It's further than a pap smear,
like
though.
Like a colposcopy?
It's, I guess they take the tissue and they do a biopsy on it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't know what the name of it is, to be quite honest. Actually, I should ask her, but...
It might be a colposcopy.
Yeah. So it came up as I have, like, a polyp again, and then it came up as what I had the last time with the stage one. So I am so distraught. I don't know if it, and I've been under tremendous amount of stress beyond I have ever been before. Not, well, this added to it, unfortunately, but the accident obviously caused a lot of physical stress, emotional stress.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, because I was off for the year from work, I didn't get approved for a long-term disability. So, and I couldn't go to work because I had a broken ankle and I have no car and I couldn't drive because it was my right ankle. And so now I have to do a whole huge appeal with that decision, which has taken tremendous time for me to write up all the information and we basically live the whole year over again because I have to write everything on paper. And so I've had a lot going on over the last, since all this happened, since the accident happened. So I'm thinking, what the heck happened? Like, I'm like, was there a, like, false negative because I was doing all these IVs, or was it just that my headspace was somewhere else and energetically maybe I kind of willed it to come because I was so scared that all this amount of stress was going to actually cause it to come back again.
So much, Mary. Just take some breaths.
I know. I have not been breathing. I've been panicking or anything.
Take some breaths and stop panicking. Here's the thing, right? You did some tremendous work, and you were doing the IVs, and you were just, like, totally devoted to taking care of
them. I was.
You were. And that did a beautiful job with you, and that's what your body needed. Then you got this car accident. And I don't know if you stopped the IVs or other things, but if you did, then that, the combination, too, the stress on your body. You know what cortisol does to your body, right? That stress on your body, and that, you know, not moving as much, and all the different things related to it. You were on the mend, but it does, you weren't like a year past.
No,
this,
I know.
Right, and so you're still in this delicate place, and it just, you know, you backtracked a little bit, and that's how I would look at it. You had a little backslip a little bit because of all that stress. Did you stop the IVs and all the?
No, we didn't stop the IVs entirely. Actually, what happened was, so this in March we had good news, as I said, but we didn't stop it because we knew, well, you know, better that we don't. We just kind of continue.
Right.
So we didn't stop it, but I know at some point, I'm trying to remember when it was that we backed off to once a week. I think it was when June, when we had the second testing where it still came out amazing, you know, and, like I said, I mean, the gyno was like, oh my God, you're my miracle patient. Every time I came in there, she's like, oh my God, you're my miracle patient. I tell people about you, you know, and not to give up and this and that. And she has been the most amazing person in the world. Like, if it wasn't for her, and I don't know what I would have done. But, so I don't know.
When this result came back, did she have anything?
She was shocked. She called me personally, and she was just like, because normally she would just email me and say, oh, everything's fine, so like, whatever, go on, right? But this time she called me, and I was kind of like, whoa, nice to hear from you. But I didn't even expect it. And so she, you know, kind of told me the news, and she was like really kind of confused, because she's like, I don't even understand what's going on, really. She was, I don't understand why. She goes, did you do something different? And she's asking me too, right? And I said, well, the only thing is, really, and I'm just looking at my calendar right now, so I was still seeing, in June, I was still doing IVs twice a week, for the most part, on average. So it wasn't until July that I actually backed off and did it once a week, which actually, maybe I shouldn't have, maybe I should have kept it up, but it was, because I couldn't drive, and where I go, where my natural path is a distance.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get there enough. Like, I couldn't get there.
Yeah.
I couldn't get myself there. And then the other thing is, my insurance, my car insurance, they were giving me a hard time as well, which was, that was completely stressful, with denying my therapy and doing this and doing all the stuff that I had to fight, like, tooth and nail for. And they weren't covering my natural path things, and so they weren't covering my travel there either. So I was trying to get myself there. I was Ubering myself there. You know, so it was just it was just one stress after the other. So I just dropped it down to once a week at that point. But then, because, you know, we thought, okay, everything is still kosher, he wanted to kind of test and do every 3 weeks. Now, that didn't really start. Every 3 weeks didn't start till September.
Yeah.
But, and I didn't even get a chance to do every 3 weeks because I ended up having the snooze before that happened, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
so
up until this point.
Mary. Let's just, I just want you to take some breaths here. And I just want you to tune in to that amazing healing potential that your body has that showed you how amazing it was.
Yeah.
Right? Showed you. You dedicated. You got your stress levels down. You were doing all the self-care. You were doing the IVs regularly. And then you had this major stressor. And that is a major stressor. Right? Because it's not just the stress of the pain and the inflammation and the this and the that. It's the stress of not being able to drive and not having the freedom to do what you wanted to do in your life, not being able to go to your appointments. It made your stressor.
Yep.
I want you to breathe and know you did this once. You can do it again. I wouldn't look for something new to try. I'd go back to what worked.
The only thing with that is, Dr. Rita Marie, is I wiped my savings. Like, I wiped my other money is obviously is in investments. So, you know, so my concern is that I, you know, to put in another $30,000 to do this all over again throughout the last year, I'm thinking, oh my God, like, how am I going to do it? And I'm not even getting paid yet. Right now, I'm just waiting for an appeal in terms, and I'm hoping that they're, you know, They basically reverse it and say, okay, given all the information that you provided with us, because they had limited information. The doctor also gave them limited information. That I'm hoping that it'll be positive, because otherwise I have no idea how I'm going to continue that and continue what I was doing, particularly with the IV than anything else.
Yeah, the IVs are expensive.
The IVs are important. And the other thing that we stopped as well was we did suppositories, and
We stopped those like a while back, though. So I don't know. I mean, we stopped them, I think, in March, maybe April. In June, we were still positive. So I really do think that the accident really impacted things. But in my mind, I'm thinking, is it possible that it would revert back to that again?
No, I'll tell you. I've seen people. I had somebody I worked with who had psoriatic arthritis. This is when I was very young in my career. And I worked with her, and we did detox, and we did elimination diet, and she lost weight. She got her gut healed. She got her blood sugar balanced. And she got rid of her psoriatic arthritis. She was doing amazing. She got in a car accident. Same as you, you know. Well, she didn't break a bone. I think she might have broken a wrist, with, you know, major whiplash. And we watched her deteriorate after that.
Started up again.
Your body. It's a stress. Now, your body is, here your body is sending all of its energy to this one part to heal because it needs it. Now it's got to divert that energy and send some of that energy to this acute thing. Acute things get preference, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Acute things get preference, right? So heal this broken bone and all this energy is there, plus the mental, emotional stress that led to. So I think you need to do the free things, which are, you know, increase your meditation, increase your heart mass, stop yourself when you start spinning. It's easy to do. It's easy to go spinning. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I'm scared, right?
Yes, yes.
But that's the stuff that needs to, it's like, I know my body can do this.
Yes.
And you're going to get everything in balance that you can.
Yeah.
You can do this. You can do this. Right? You did it. You can do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to just remind myself of that. Exactly. But
maybe you don't need the twice a week, but maybe IVs, maybe once a week would be fine, but it's once a week without all the other stress, right? So, but it was the combination. You cut down on the IVs and the stress went, the physical stress and the mental emotional stress.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also feel, like, I know, like, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know how people are not aware of this when they either eat something or when they're, you know, emotionally under stress or whatever, but I can feel my body just going into, like, you know, inflammation mode just from everything. Like, right now, too, I mean, the one thing that's actually really different, and I know it's probably nerves and whatever the case is, but I've just had this really, like, tense air, like, my gut has been in such tension. That I'm thinking, is it something I'm eating? Is it my stress? Like, you know what I mean? And then I tend to have funny inflammation around my elbow area. I don't know what, my arm. I could feel the inflammation, like when my body is under some sort of stress or attack. I could tell. And some reason it's either my fingers, when I'm eating something, my fingers usually get a little bit of inflammation. But my elbows do too. And so there's been some symptoms that have been very kind of coming back. Even the, I don't remember if I told you, like the up and down, like going up and down my spine, like somebody's tickling it, or there's ants running up and down my spine. That stopped, like way back when all this stuff was all good news. I wasn't feeling it, maybe rarely, but then it started up again. And I thought, okay, this is something going on, you know? So, and I guess, I mean, you're right. I mean, even my naturopath also kind of said sort of the same thing. Like, you know, you've just been in a tremendous accident. Now your body's going to take it here and try to fix this part because that, you know, that's what the concern is immediately. But I was just like, I guess I was just trying to just, you know, I just wanted to be a little bit more, so to speak, normal in the sense that I wanted to start to actually implement some blueberries to see if that helps, because I wanted to do a little bit more of a heavy metal detox, and I know blueberries are, you know, important, but with that issue, you know, with taking out all the sugar, maybe it's not a good idea, right? So just introducing a little bit more fruit and having an opportunity to test to see how my body reacted to that. I was really looking forward to that.
You know, I think you should wait on testing anything. I think, you know, whenever something is traumatic, you want to go back to something you know was working. You can test later, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's important to go back to what you know worked. It may be fine, but do you want to take that chance? That's the only concern I have. So I would
focus
on the free stuff, right? Meditation, catching yourself. those are, you know, cost prohibitive to do twice a week, go to once a week, but go ahead and get some liposomal vitamin C. I mean, liposomal vitamin C is expensive, but you can take 10 grams a day of liposomal vitamin C for a lot less than you can get IVs twice a week.
Right, yeah.
So,
right.
You know, make up for it. I don't know what else they were putting in the IVs. I know that at Lodi's clinic they do sodium selenate alternating with vitamin C.
Well, vitamin C we're doing artesanate too. I did like rounds of, mistletoe as well. Oh my God, oh my God, I'm thinking I got to do that all over again. I hope not. You know, I did everything you could possibly think of probably threw in there. I even ordered, B17 from Mexico to put in there as well. You know, so I did all that I could. And we really saturated. And honestly, I mean, from September till March, basically. So that's, I don't know how many months that is. That's not really, when you think about it, a very long time to see a positive, great result. But at the same time, had my car, had my freedom, had my rampage of, like, appreciation all the way to my naturopath and all the way back. My car was like a second home to me, you know what I mean, where I've got so much freedom. The naturopath is by the beach, so I would go there and just meditate by the beach before I actually went in there. So there's so many things that I could incorporate, which I wasn't able to do. I was restrictive while I was, I'd have been my left ankle. It would have been fine. I could have drove myself everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So you know what to do, Mary. And just trust your guidance and just trust your body. And you'll get back there.
Yeah, I guess down deep inside, I know that that's the truth. I guess I think I'm just being impatient with having to do this all over again. and not only that, I think also the financial concern is the more thing that's sort of on my, you know, because there was so much other things that with that money that I wanted to do, you know, like I'm thinking, oh my God.
But staying alive is a pretty cool one, you know. Staying healthy and alive, if I have a choice, you know, as much as I love beach vacations, if I had a choice between spending it on keeping my body healthy and alive or going on a beach vacation, and maybe I could combine the two, but you know what I'm saying? It's like,
And mine wasn't even on beach vacations. Mine was just more on educating myself on things to make myself even healthier, you know, like that was you know where I was going with that anyways, but anyhow, so that's where I'm at right now, so I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but anyways, I think, thank you. I appreciate it. It actually makes me feel better.
Okay. Yeah. Just really stick with it and touch yourself and just incorporate, ring your bells and incorporate little mini meditations throughout the day, little mini heart mouth appreciation. Thank your inner healer for doing what it needed to do. Express your thanks for healing your ankle and then say, now let's turn our attention back and let's get things again. And just work as a team with your inner healer. Instead of being a critic. So many times I see it so often, people are critical of their bodies. And this is this beautiful, amazing, miraculous healing power that we all have.
It's true.
And here we are yelling at it, right? You're not working fast enough. You're not good enough. You're not like, screw you, I'm going on vacation.
It's so true. You know what's so funny, though? I mean, Dr. Rudy, if you knew the magnitude of this accident, when I saw my front, when I saw the front end of my car, I was practically like, oh my God, I'm surprised I'm here. And I have to tell you, besides this ankle, and I had a minor, I mean, it's major enough that, you know, they're telling me that, oh, okay, you might have some arthritis or whatever, but it's going to be okay. And, you know, and also, like, the amazing thing, and this is what I want to say this because I think it's really important that other people hear it as well, that, you know, the impact was pretty harsh, and I had maybe a little bit of like whiplash the first maybe weekish, and then I took a homeopathic, and after the first couple of weeks, and I was okay. But if I was not in such great shape, if I think also if I was not eating as good as I was, like I was, my habits, I don't know if I would have recovered as fast as I have.
Oh, yeah.
Physically. Let's not talk about emotionally or in being in shock and all that other, you know, psychological stuff, like, because that's a different component with physical. But in terms of physical, I mean, you know, yeah, I'm limping right now because my foot's still healing and the bone hasn't completely healed. I just did an MRI. But considering, I'm like, holy Jesus, like, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if it were anybody else, it might have been harsher or their recovery might have been worse.
Oh, I've
seen, you know?
I've seen people take a lot longer to recover. So, yeah, that kind
you know?
Of holding yourself in that state of gratitude is a mm-hmm. really thing.
Yeah. But anyways, I have a few questions, but I will wait to ask, and I'll get you to move on. If we have time, then you can come back to me. If not, then I think we have a call tomorrow as well. I can maybe do that as well. So we'll see.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Does that work? Thank you so much for your support, as always.
Oh, you're so welcome. Bye, Mary.
Thank you. Bye.
Sandy, you're next.
Wow. That was fast. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, good. I don't have to do anything except sit here and wait for you to press a button. Well, I think I'm a very good segue from Mary. Mary is lovely. I've heard her a few times talking, you two talking. She's just wonderful.
She is, I know.
So, you'll probably tell me a lot of things you told her.
Okay.
Okay, so, first of all, thank you for Saturday. That was great. That was really great. I'm looking forward to the replay, and then I'll ask you more lab questions. So I'm going to save those till after I hear it again.
Okay, yeah, we're working on it, so hopefully it'll be up by, you know,
yeah, I mean, it's not a hurry. I got plenty to do. Okay, so here is my spiel, which I've written a lot down so I can read it to you and then I can be more focused.
Okay.
I'm in ERC. My main goal has been and is to work less, have more fun, and be more relaxed. And I prefer to
work more, work less, have more fun,
work less,
and relax.
And be more relaxed. So I prefer to refrain from taking more supplements, and by the way, I'll talk to my coaches about all this as well. So I prefer to refrain from taking more supplements and doing more protocols. I am already over the top with all these protocols from morning till night. So, and I want to be off the computer more, so I need major support in this area. Now, the ERC and the BFF programs, whatever else there is out there, the health tracker and everything else, they're really more work than I bargained for. So after 2 weeks of intensive lab researching, getting the labs done, and attending the lab retreat, I was exhausted yesterday, and I couldn't go dancing, and I couldn't have fun. So I had to rest, and I did a lot of Reiki. And I felt better in the afternoon, the later afternoon, and I am better today. Now, I'm very grateful that I can feel better in a day or two because previously it took 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, you know, focusing on adrenal fatigue, which I know this is adrenal fatigue, and, you know, the other things I mentioned, like the toxins and getting more lab tests, that's what I'm focusing on. Now, one of the things I didn't mention in the lab retreat, we were talking about my energy, and we were talking about thyroid, and we were talking about how with this T3 addition, taking it three times a day, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, has really helped. But what happens to me, see, I have tons of energy in the morning. In fact, this morning at 4:30, I woke up because, you know, I have this excessive peeing problem, which I know is stress and adrenal. I know you said it's probably dumping toxins, which I think it probably is, but I think it's mainly stress and adrenal. From everything I've learned from you, I really think that's what it is. Now, so this morning, for about the third or fourth, I think today it was only three times, at 4:30 in the morning, I got up to pee. And I went back to sleep, and I started thinking about all the food that was in the refrigerator that I want to play with and do. So this really works great. I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I stay in bed till 5, and I just couldn't sleep. So, hey, I'm going to get up. So I did, and I did food stuff for 3 hours, and I can accomplish, like, 8 hours worth. And I'm so happy, no interruptions, and I'm, like, so happy. So what I want to tell you here is that morning is really good, and then it's like after lunch, although today I'm doing good, probably because yesterday I rested so much, but 1 or 2 o'clock, like after lunch, is when I go downhill. And that's kind of why I think it's in a, you know, cortisol, adrenal, whatever I'm missing situation.
Okay. So 2 o'clock, if you're getting up at 5, right?
Yeah, but it can be any day, even if I get up at 7 or 8.
Okay.
It can still
be
1
typical.
Or
2. 5 isn't typical. Because I was just thinking in terms of relate that to, say, someone who does get up at 8. That's the equivalent of 5, 6 in the afternoon, which is when people do start to wind down. So I was just trying to see if it's something like you're going, and maybe, just maybe, taking a break and maybe figuring, like, maybe around, when do you eat lunch?
Usually around between 12 and 1.
Between 12 and 1?
Sometimes. Usually I like to eat between 12 and 12:30, but sometimes it's not till 1. Sometimes I'm hungry, so I'll do it 11:30.
Okay. So your energy goes down after you eat, after lunch. Do you do breakfast when you get up in the morning?
Yes, within an hour.
Okay. And what you're eating for breakfast is what?
It can be any. It can be anything. It can be chia gel with yogurt. It can be with awesome milk, or, you know. And then I put a lot of things in it: ground flax seed.
Right.
Lately, ground poppy seed, hemp seeds. That's what I had this morning. But yesterday I had it for lunch with a salad and cucumber dressing. I got to tell you that cabbage salad with the cucumber dressing that you showed a while back in one of the kitchen shows is my favorite now. I've made it about 6 times.
Wow.
I just absolutely love it. And I had a lot of dressing left over, so I just used it on green salad for 2 or 3 times.
Yum. Awesome.
Yeah, I really like it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to see, can there be a food connection, right? So is there something that you would typically eat at lunch that you wouldn't eat at breakfast? Or is it a digestive thing, right? Just you eat heavier at lunch and that causes you to slow down. Or just maybe you've been very busy and you've gotten a lot done. And what if you were to take like a little mini meditation type break before making lunch? Just as a...
Did I do that today? Oh, yeah, I did. Usually when I get really early like that, 4 or 5, and I work 3 hours, then I start getting tired, so I go lie down. Sometimes I go to sleep to make up to get to the 8 hours. And like today, I just deeply relaxed and did Reiki. Really helps me on my left adrenal and my eyes. So I was doing that, but I really didn't go to sleep, but I, you know, relaxed. That really does help, yeah. But I usually have to do it again, like, after lunch. But today, I think because I have this program, I'm, you know, doing this program, this call.
And then if you do this...
Probably after this call.
You'll do it, yeah. So when you do that, does that give you energy for a few hours, Sandy?
Usually, yes. Okay.
All right. So here's the thing. You're rebuilding, right? You're restoring. You're bringing back the function. And some of these activities, you know, sometimes we expect that we're going to have this fully functioning, oh, yeah, I'm working on this, so therefore I should be fully functioning. But part of that recovery is those continuing to take more of those breaks, continuing to take that to replenish yourself, right? And so what I want to look at is it an overall, like, your energy is going up? Have you plateaued? Or are you up, down, but not getting anywhere? Do you have a sense of that?
If I'm up, down?
Yeah, in terms of your progress. So you said years ago or before you had to sleep for two weeks, but now it was only 2 days.
Or less, like yesterday, one day. Yeah, I mean, that part is really much, much better, much improved.
Okay. So then I'm going to make a suggestion. Can I make a suggestion?
Please.
Okay. That you get that part of your recovery, just like taking whatever supplements and eating really good food and spacing your meals and doing periodic testing, part of your recovery is to do Reiki on yourself a couple of times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just take a break and put your feet up. There's a position, we talk about it in the adrenal program, I don't know if you remember, I call it the restorative pose, where you lay down.
No, I...
And you, so you lay down, you could do it on the floor, you could do it, it's easier to do it on a floor with your feet up on a chair so that your knees are 90 degrees to your hips and then your legs are 90 degrees to your thighs. And you just,
okay.
I mean, literally lay there. And if you do that for 2 or 3 minutes, for me, 15 seconds is all I need. It's like, oh, it's just so restorative because it gives
you. I do, you know what? I do that.
You do?
Yeah, I do that. While I'm doing Reiki, I do that.
Fantastic.
Where you have your legs up, feet flat on the floor.
No, feet aren't flat on the floor. No, feet aren't flat on the floor. So your your hips are bent at a 90-degree angle. And then instead of your feet being on the floor, the feet are up on a chair so that the calves are 90 degrees to the thighs. So you're making a little like a Z almost, your body.
Okay.
And that's called a restorative pose. And so if you were to do that, and then are you doing Reiki every day on yourself or just periodically or how often?
Every day, at least once, sometimes twice.
Okay. So why don't you try adding for the next couple of weeks, you try adding twice and add this restorative pose in. And I know you don't want more protocols, but this is restorative. This is not like more to
that's,
do.
That's okay. That's okay. Things. You know what? That's okay because I'm already doing it. I already do it.
Yeah.
So that's okay. And I can do it in bed before I go to sleep, too.
Exactly. Yeah, well, bed would be hard. You have to put some big pillows under so to get them up. But
oh, that's true. Okay. Well, I'll look at it.
Before you get into bed, you can lay on your floor with a nice pillow under your head and just put your feet up on your bed. And lay down and do that, and then get into bed. But it's more helpful in the day because at night you're actually laying on your bed and you're getting into that pose anyway. So it's actually more helpful that any time you even feel a hint of that tiredness, you just drop down into that position. Do a little Reiki on yourself.
Oh, you know what? I know. I need so much support on this, and to myself, especially telling myself, because you know, I'm a recovering workaholic. I like to be productive. I like to get things done. I like to be active.
You do.
And so, yeah. for me, I know I'm getting tired, but it's like, one more thing. Oh, I got to finish this. I did better this morning.
Okay. So one more thing.
Oh, it's just this one more thing. I just got to finish this. I can't just leave it on the counter like this. You know, it's like,
okay, so
but I did better,
question.
I did better, sorry.
What would happen if you left something half done on the counter for 3 minutes and then got back to it?
Oh, 3 minutes is okay, but it's not going to be 3 minutes. It's going to be a half hour, an hour.
If you just do this restorative pose, it could be just 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Right. So when you find yourself arguing with you're arguing. There's this kid part, rebel part, that's arguing with your adult, sensible part. And it's winning time, right? So we want to appease it. Like, yep, I am going to just lay down for 3 minutes and then I'll get back to this. And even, okay, what's the worst case, right? So you go lay down for 30 minutes to an hour. Unless you're, you know, got something that's going to melt on your counter, it's not going to make a difference whether you finish it.
Go rotten. It's going to go rotten. It's going to get bacteria.
It's in the middle of food prep, right?
It's going to, yeah. Well, I just can stick it in a bowl in the refrigerator. That's what I did today. That's what I did. I put everything in a bowl and put it in the refrigerator. I'll deal with it later or tomorrow.
Yes. And it's prioritizing you. It's prioritizing you and your self-preservation over and above your productivity. You have as much value whether you produce, you know, a small amount or a large amount. Your value is inherent in you. And that's what workaholics need to get to realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the more focus you put on your self-care and don't argue with yourself about it, just do it. And don't wonder why I still have to do this. You already told me it used to be 2 weeks or more by the time you'd recover, and now you did it in less than 2 days. So you're really on the mend. Yeah. Let's just keep you on the mend.
Yes, I am. I am.
Absolutely.
I am.
Yeah.
So what about all this, all these things to do in ERC and EFS?
This is what I told someone else earlier today. Do them one thing. I'm giving you one thing a week, right? I'm sending you a message that says, this week I want you to focus on this thing. If that's something you've already done, just do it intentionally this week. If you're already doing your half your body weight and fluid ounces of water and making sure that you're drinking pure water and that's the activity for the week, you just go, yay, Sandy, you're ahead of the game. And then you go about and you keep doing the good stuff. And then the next week you get another message that says, hey, we're going to do fun this week. How many fun things can you do this week? Post it to Facebook. Okay, and then the next week we talk about, what do we talk about? Breakfast. It sounds like you already got your breakfast wired. Just celebrate when you get the things that you do, because there'll be some stuff. Now, you know, your next, I think it's Sunday, you're going to get an email that talks about, let's focus on eating for digestive health. And it's a one page, which has a lot of summary from a program. You already did the GRAND program. And you're going to just go through that page and go, okay, done that. Oh, I forgot about that. Let me get back to that. So it's really little steps to fine-tune it. Little steps.
Okay. Since I've done all these other programs, you're right. See, I was looking forward to these pillars because that's easy for me. I've done a great amount. I mean, that's as part of my daily daily protocols. So I think I'm not really so worried about BFF and all the pillars, and I like all that. And I think it's the ERC and the health tracker and all the things.
The health tracker is intended for you. So what is it about the health tracker that is concerning for you?
Well, getting on the computer, being on the computer, and putting all that stuff in. I just thought if I could do just a little bit a day or once a week or something, maybe.
Yeah,
I thought it was for coaches too, though. It's helpful.
Yeah, some of those you don't have to fill out all those pages, but there's a lot of stuff you've already done, and it's
right.
It's like there's more at the beginning because we need to get to know you.
Right.
Right. You know, as far as keep going, well, if you want to track your food intake, we talked about that Chronometer app, and you can put stuff in and make it fun.
Oh, yeah. I am going to do that sometime.
Yeah, but don't stress yourself about it.
Okay.
Right? And when you get labs in, just put them in when you get them in. It should take 5 to 10 minutes when you get new labs to put in there.
My computer didn't take 5 or 10 minutes. They're not with my energy with computers either.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but that's
okay.
What helps us help you to fine-tune it. Right. You've been doing a lot of great stuff, but we want to see what are your labs saying that maybe needs to be fine-tuned.
Right. Okay. Right? So, are you saying all this lab stuff and all that in the beginning is the most work and then it won't be quite as intense?
Right. That's totally
okay.
Right.
Well, then that's good. That's good. All right. That helps me a lot because I didn't know what we're going to be doing after this. I know what I'm doing. I know I'm getting certain lab tests. I know I want to work on adrenals and the toxins, and those are three things. And you know, I want to be able to put my exercise, fun, and food, playing with food in.
Yeah, and I prioritize that every day, Sandy, like you're doing. Prioritize that.
Yeah.
Does that's the biggie, right?
And that's why I'm happy I got up and got to do food.
Yeah, I'm glad you did too. How fun. I wish I lived nearby you. I'd come by for a visit very often.
Yeah, you would.
Stay today.
Because guess what? It's your kind of food. I mean,
I
just have so much fun editing Okay. You know, I made a new smoothie today using up things in the refrigerator, and then I didn't put blueberries in, and I didn't do some of those, you know, some of those things. So now I'm taking those fruit ones, and I know how to edit them to make them taste good.
Yeah.
And I just love the
pastry. We'll have to do a class for everybody with that. I want to someday. Well,
I would, when a guest chef
on one of the vital
kitchen show.
Yeah, we'll just have to have a video on.
I've never told you, but that's one of the things I really want to do. But in order to do it, I got to feel a lot better.
Okay, so what if you believe this? So you have to feel a lot better in order to do it, right? What if you just said, "I am feeling better. I am feeling good enough. I am feeling that." You know, so some of it is.
I think that's good.
Pattern,
I think that's
right?
Good. Right.
I'm feeling better.
Right.
I'm going to try it. You don't need to feel any better than you do for me to have you watching that show and click a switch to have you in your kitchen and show us a smoothie.
Oh, I see. Or a pâté. Pâté is what I was really wanting to do. Yeah, or
okay.
Both, one of each.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
oh, I see.
Yeah.
Do it,
you feel
do
fine
it
enough
here,
to do
not
it.
In your kitchen.
No.
I was thinking I'd do it in your kitchen.
Someday you could do that too. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just think about, I have the strength and energy to do everything that's important to me today.
Okay. I have an affirmation that says that.
Great.
I'll have to get it out. Thank you.
In the right direction, Sandy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I just want to be, I want to be like you, unstoppable.
You are.
Well, yes, I really am.
You're on the road getting there. You're on the road.
Inside, I really am, or I never could be where I was, where I am now, I mean.
Yes.
Well, all that I've gone through. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, my dear.
Well,
thank you
very
much.
Great talking to you, Sandy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So now we have Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hey, good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. My question is, it's been about a year ago, I had a food sensitivity test. It was the MRT test.
Mm-hmm.
And I had several things on there. And about that, or I guess it was a little bit after that, I also had a stool test and did, it came back that I had some bacteria. So I didn't have a specific SIBO test done, but I was advised to just go ahead and do a protocol for SIBO.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And I'm just curious because I shied away from several of these foods from like a year ago. And I'm curious if I should, you know, if it's okay to start some of the things that are on that. That said that I should stay away from were things like cinnamon and lemon and, you know, there were ginger, things that I really want to use. And so I was curious if I can go ahead and put those back in my diet or if I should have the test done again or.
Great, great question. I love the question. So here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So if you stayed away from them for a year, and you did a protocol, meaning it wasn't a pharmaceutical protocol. It was more of an herbal, right, protocol for SIBO? Yeah. And is your gut feeling better than it was a year ago?
Yes.
Okay. So if you were to add one of those back in and it didn't make you feel good, would you notice?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So it's provocation time, girl. You already did elimination. You don't usually have people do such a long elimination. So here's the thing. You pick, what do you miss the most out of those that you've been staying away from?
Cinnamon and ginger, probably, and lemon. All three of those are big ones.
All three. Can you pick one to start with?
Okay. I would say probably cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Okay, great. What do you eat currently in your diet that you could add some cinnamon to? That would really spice it up and make it yummy.
Sometimes I used to put it in, sometimes I put it in tea, and I also put it in smoothies in the morning, breakfast smoothies.
Great. For the next 3 days, you get to put cinnamon in anything you want to and everything you want to.
Okay.
And really give it a whirl. Like 2-3 times a day is fine. Just eat lots of cinnamon for 3 days. And just pay attention to how you feel when you do that.
Okay.
You notice after the three, you start to go, oh, I feel a little more tired than usual. Oh, I feel like a gut issue. Then maybe cinnamon's not good for you. But at this point, it probably is fine, right, at this point. And so you do that. And you go, I think cinnamon's as an add back, right? And you cross it off your avoid list. And then you pick your next one, lemon or ginger, which one?
Ginger, because lemon, I'm actually using, I'm using lime right now instead of lemon, so I kind of have a substitute for that.
Yeah, cool. So you just start doing the same with ginger.
Okay.
See how you feel. If at any point you're not sure, you add one of these back and you're not sure, then just create a list. I have a form for it, but you don't even need it. You just take a piece of paper and you divide it into three columns. Yes, no, maybe.
Okay.
So as you add any of these back, they're in the no column right now, right? Because
you're
avoiding them. You're going to take cinnamon, and if you, after 3 days you don't feel any different, you put the cinnamon in the yes column.
Okay.
If after the 3 days you're like, I'm just not sure, you know, I think I might have lower energy, I think I might have a gut issue, you put it in the maybe. You're going to come back to it, and then you continue to stay away from it. But once you put it in the yes, it just becomes part of your normal routine. You can eat it whenever you want.
Okay.
And the same with ginger. So just create that three-column thing. And then in the no column, put all the things you've been avoiding that you want to add back. Because sometimes there's stuff in those allergy tests that's like, I could care less if I ever eat, you know, okra.
Exactly.
And, right?
Yeah. So, I actually have a lot. I mean, there's like whey and wheat and...
Yeah,
things that I'm not, cow's milk, things that I'm not having right now anyway, so.
Yeah, don't just leave those off. But the ones that are good, healthy, good foods, like the three you just mentioned, which are amazing, you just put them on that list, and then you just tackle that list. And now you've just added them back.
Okay. I've been curious about that for a long time, so I thought this is the perfect time to ask that question.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, 3 days may seem like too much at this point, but do it for at least the first 3 to 6 of them. It'll take a couple of weeks to add them back. If you have a lot, then if you feel like you want to group some together, you could try that, but then you run the risk if something doesn't feel good that you don't know which one, then you have to go back and test them individually. So it's up to you. But at least for the first 6 of them, I would say do them with the 3-day thing.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sandra in Madison, Wisconsin. Wait a minute. You didn't open when I clicked you. There you go. Hi, Sandra in Madison.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you doing?
I'm good. I wasn't sure which. We have so many Sandras and Sandys in our program. I never know which.
Sounds like an accent.
Yes, I know now. I know which Sandra.
One question. I got my C-peptide serum results, and it came out 1.3.
Wait. Which serum? Your what serum?
C-peptide.
Oh, your C-peptide came out at 1.3. What's the range? I don't remember the range on that.
1.1 to 4.4.
Okay. All right, so it's telling me that your pancreas still has capacity there.
Okay.
So we were worried about that you were burning it out, but
yes.
It looks like it's doing okay.
All right, great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have Mary. And Lynn, if there's any questions that are coming in on the chat or the QA, just remind me, because I haven't gone back. I haven't gone back to look at the QA again. All right, Mary, you're back.
Okay, these are all quick questions.
Okay,
glutamine. Now, I know that the gut protocol has glutamine in it, and apparently glutamine is an issue with potential carcinoma stuff.
It's potential, right? And there's mixed reviews about it. So when in doubt, leave it out.
I know. And so I was reading something, whatever the case is, but there's glutamine in a lot of foods. So now I'm thinking, oh, do I have to worry about it?
No. Don't worry about
okay.
it. Glutamine is amino acid. It's when you add a lot of extra that there is the potential. And again, it's a controversial thing. So
yes.
I would just say don't supplement with glutamine, but don't worry about leaving, it's no.
Okay.
It's like,
so if I wanted
I'm allergic to vitamin C, so I'm going to avoid all foods that contain vitamin C. Good luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this is it, because I looked up, like, all the foods have glutamine. I mean, spinach and all my greens. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
What the
yeah,
heck am I going to eat?
No.
Right?
Don't worry about that. No.
Oh, okay. So, but in fact, when I do the gut protocol, because I wanted to do it again, there's the glutamine that you have recommended there, which I really liked, to be quite honest. So am I going to omit that?
Yeah, I would omit it. I think you
is there a substitute
repair
to something
without.
Else?
You can use slippery elm. You can use plantain. You can use arabinogalactan, which is usually from larch, and thorn has powder of it, and that helps to feed and grow the epithelium and the short chain fatty acids that help to feed and grow the epithelium. So,
okay, if that can be typed in the chat so I can get the right name of it.
Can
I know you said thorn, but
because
I don't know how I wouldn't even know how to spell that.
Arabinogalactan. I think I'm getting it. Try that. Something like that. You know how Google is, so even
yes.
if you screw it up, you'll get close
it'll
enough.
Pick it up.
It'll pick it up. Yeah. And thorn has some. Thorn has it for sure.
Yes, and I can get thorn products here, so it's great. I love thorn. Okay, quick question number two. So you kind of sort of alluded to it earlier, but taking supplements during intermittent fasting, do you do it? Do you not do it?
Taking supplements during intermittent fasting, is that what you mean?
Yeah, like if you're intermittent fasting, are you, like they're saying, if you're taking anything while you're intermittent fasting, the time that you're fasting, if you're having anything, you're not really fasting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it depends on what you're taking. Okay, so if you're taking anything like protein powder, no, you're not fasting.
No.
You know, some people will, though, do, like, some of them are recommending intermittent fasting that they can drink bulletproof coffee.
Like, I don't get that.
I don't get that either.
That's not fasting for me.
Right, that's not fasting to me either, right? But it's a slowing down of the intake. So I like liquid minerals. I'll take liquid minerals.
Right.
I feel like
that's what I'm referring to. I'm referring to either liquid minerals, either tinctures for
the
adrenal thing.
The tinctures are an issue because they do have alcohol in them or glycerin. So
right.
So the liquid minerals are just water and an ionic mineral in it that I wouldn't say breaks it. On the other hand, it's just such a small amount, it may not be an issue. But personally, I will take minerals when I'm intermittent fasting, but I don't do tinctures.
And no vitamins either? Like, no supplements?
I generally don't when I'm intermittent fasting. I won't take vitamins. But then I don't take vitamins very often anyway.
Right. Well, I guess the reason why I'm saying this is because if I'm looking at doing a little bit more intermittent fasting just to kind of maybe help this thing along, and so I'm trying to experiment with, okay, I've been doing intermittent fasting where it's like, okay, I eat from between 11, I eat 11 o'clock, I may start eating or whatever the case is, right? So I might do an 11 to 7 or not even, actually, usually typically it's 11 to 6 or what have you. I've experimented with eat the one meal a day thing. So whatever, the window where I'm fasting, I typically don't take my supplements then. I'll take them with my meals or just before I'm eating or what have you. But I wanted to experiment with alternative day fasting, which is not really fasting.
36-hour fasting.
Right, but I've experimented.
Yeah.
Right. And I've experimented with, right now I'm just experimenting with doing juicing, like my green juices. So instead of actually doing water fast, I'll do green juice fast instead. But on, say, on a Sunday or once a week, I might think about doing, I have been doing, actually, a water fast. So once a week when I do a water fast, I'm not taking any of my supplements. I'm just doing water, and I'm okay
right.
with that.
Right.
And I've actually even experimented with dry fasting, and to be quite honest, it's easier for me to do a dry fast than a water fast.
Okay.
And
Find what works. Yeah.
And I find the inflammation, I can feel the decrease in inflammation with dry fasting. It's incredible. Even my flexibility when I'm doing my dry fasting is like through the roof. It's just like night and day. It's unbelievable, like the difference. So once a week, I don't mind. I was more concerned of the, if I'm doing a water fast, maybe every, if I transition from juice fasting and doing alternative fasting and I transition to water fasting instead, then I'm not going to be taking my supplements that often. And I'm wondering if that's an issue more for my thyroid.
You're talking alternative day fasting, like not just, you're just going to eat every other day. Is that what you mean?
So to speak.
Yeah.
Too extreme?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that it is, but you do have to watch thyroid with that.
Yes.
You know, once if you go beyond 36 hours, that will start to slow the metabolism down, so it's important to really be careful with that. But
it's not beyond 36 hours, though. I wouldn't do beyond 36 hours.
So here's – is this what you're
– more like 24 hours.
Are you thinking, like, say – Sunday you stop eating after, 7 o'clock at dinner, and then you don't eat again until Tuesday morning. Is that what you're talking about?
Something like that, yeah.
And then you eat Tuesday, and then are you then fasting again from Wednesday to Thursday and not eating again until Thursday? Is that kind of what you're recommending?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that, like a 24-hour thing.
24-hour more. You're never 24 hour means you're not really going any days fully without any food. So
right, so yeah. It would probably be more. Yeah, so it probably be more closer to 30, 36. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So personally, I think that if you're going to do it that often, you're better off doing a 3-day, and then just doing your short window of eating the other days. You know, like a 8-hour window of eating on the other days, and then do 3 days again. I just think that you go deeper. In terms of
three days of just water fasting?
Yeah, rather than every other day you're going to skip, right? It's just because you're going up and down and on and off. I mean, a lot of the studies with autophagy, which is the body eating up the dead unhealthy cells, shows that it really kicks in on the third day.
So you would do 3 days of water fast and then 2 days of, 4 days of eating.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
That way. Yeah, or you could do 5 days of water fasting once a month and then do your intermittent fasting on those alternate days where you're eating within an 8-hour window, and maybe 1 day a week you do a full, normal day of eating just to keep your body guessing. Some of the studies show it gets hormone flexibility when you keep your body guessing.
Right.
I just don't know that it would be great for your metabolism to eat every other day. Because the way it sounded like it was like you're going to eat on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and the other day.
Right, that's basically what it looked like. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And from a self-control standpoint, I mean,
it's
the
not
first
next.
Day is the frickin' hardest.
Yeah.
The hardest. So you're putting yourself through the hardest part of fasting over and over again. That's why I said I'd rather put 3 days because – day two gets easier. Day three gets easier. By day four or five, it's easy peasy. But that first day, if I can make it past the first day, there's no way I'm going to break it the next day. Personally, and I think you have to find it yourself. But me, it's like, I made it through the first day. I'm going to go for three at least. And then when I make it through three, I go, I made it through three. I'm going to go for five.
Right.
And then
what
maximum, more in-depth cleansing that way.
Cleansing. Well, what I've actually done is I've actually haven't even graduated to alternating with just water. I've just been alternating with green juice. So I'll
that's fine. I mean, that's different. Now, if you wanted to do it with the water, then, I don't know that I'd like to see you do that. Because you're really pumping the nutrition in, right? And your body needs both at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need the cleansing, and you need the super nutrition. And
it's right.
a figure a way to get you yourself both. That's what I thought. Well, a five day fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, maybe alternate days of juicing alone, like you're doing, with like
right.
really pumping in the nutrition.
And I think also Dr. Lordy, his protocol also is, you know, he does, I think, a few days of water fasting, and then he really pumps in the green juices afterwards, or vice versa. I don't remember which direction he does it again, but.
Probably both.
You know, yeah. And the other thing with him is I need to give him a call because, I mean, I've done everything in my, what he does, I mean, in terms, we went through the whole plan and what I would be doing if I went there, we can do here. So that's basically the plan that I was on here. What I would like to know is his protocol in terms of the food aspect to stop it from coming back. So, you know, and I don't think he, I don't know, at this point I had asked him, like, don't you have, like, just, you know, can we just not even go there, but even just do things with you, say, over the phone or consult where you're walking us through what you do with your clients. Like, and some of the stuff I know the juicing and I know all this stuff. And I think it's the keto training that I really probably would want more of. Because he alternates 2 weeks on keto and then, you know, 6 weeks off or something like that.
Who is
you know what I'm saying?
Who did you?
Dr. Lordy.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he's doing the keto.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He does 2 weeks on keto and 6 weeks off. 2 weeks on, 6 weeks off. So, but I only know basic stuff, but I don't really know his whole food protocol, and I'm curious to find out what that is. And so
yeah.
I'd like it if I could just say, hey, you know how, you know, do you have a program or are you interested in where I just want to know the food aspect of how you balance the, you know, 2 weeks on, 6 weeks off kind of thing, and how you take your client, your patients through it.
Well, here's the thing. I think, you can know what his protocol is, but you can also figure out the Mary protocol for it. You can figure out, like, okay, if I'm going to do 2 weeks on keto, personally, without even trying to be on keto, really, I've been on keto nonstop for 4 months. So my lowest was yesterday. I don't remember what I ate, got my sugar up to in the 90s and low hundreds. And my ketones went down to 0.6, which is still in ketosis. But most of the time, I'm in the 1.5 to 3 range in ketosis and ketones, right?
Yes.
So you can do it by just getting a meter and seeing what puts you into ketosis and what doesn't. Now, 3 days of fasting will put you in ketosis for most people. Further in, and then once you're there, then you can play with what is it, right? And how would he take somebody out of ketosis? Well, because he's into whole foods. He's going to take them out with probably a little bit of fruit,
mm-hmm.
right? Or
yeah,
more
awesome.
Of starchy vegetables, right? Maybe
mm-hmm.
some carrots, maybe some cauliflower, that kind of stuff.
Well, his two-week ketosis week there, he doesn't even have you on wheatgrass. He doesn't even have you on juices. He doesn't have you on any of that.
No, because you'll be out of ketosis on juices. So that might be the thing. You do 2 weeks.
Oh.
Because I think the juices would take you out of ketosis because they do.
Even green juice?
It could. For me, it might. I haven't tried it. I haven't tried just doing a couple of days.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Really? Oh,
it
okay. Well, you
much too, right? If you're undernourishing, and we
mm-hmm.
I got to move on because there's other questions, but if
yes.
you're undernourishing on juices, like you're having lower calories and dropping weight, then yeah. But if you're doing enough juices to keep your weight steady, it could bring carbohydrate wise, even though it's green, there's a lot of carbohydrates in green juice. And it can
right,
take you out of ketosis if you're drinking like he has people do in the cancer protocols or two quarts a day of juices.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I mean, at this point, I think for those particular patients, I think that high mineral is important because you want to oxygenate the body. I think that's the prior.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what, and same with, you know, Hippocrates Health Institute. I think that's their main mandate is to get as much oxygen in the body as possible, right?
Yes, and to give your body as much space to detox, to cleanse.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, so play around with it. And then
that's cool. The
idea, but I just am not feeling good about the idea of alternate day water fasting. I just think it's stressful on your body to do that. Alternate day juice is fine. With some good hearty meals in between, and then having a period, I would say 5 days is a really good amount. You need to go longer, of course, to get deeper, but 5 days can get you pretty deep and into a high level of ketosis and a high level of what they call autophagy.
Okay, well, that's good. And I finally got my keto mojo because I got somebody that a friend of mine went to the States and they brought it back for me.
Good for you.
Yes.
Well, good luck and keep me posted, okay?
Okay, I'll come back if there's more time for questions.
All right, I don't think so because they have about 8 minutes left.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll save them for tomorrow. No worries.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
All right, so Elizabeth wants to know if the Shine event's only for practitioners and health coaches. That's a good question. It's intended for health coaches and practitioners, but also very, you know, well-educated consumers. So we have quite a number of people who are not practitioners who are coming because they want to go deep and learn it for themselves. It's not for your average, hey, you know, Joe off the street doesn't really know a lot about nutrition and says, oh, I heard about genes, let me come to your conference. No. And if the science and that kind of stuff scares you, no. But it's definitely you're welcome to come even if you're not. And you want me to do a show on salad dressings and dips, you got it. I'll look at our schedule and see when, but I would love, love, love. It's one of my favorite things to make and eat, salad dressings and dips. Thank you, Elizabeth from Brooklyn. Jane put in a couple of questions. TSH is still high, even on T4, 50 milligrams, taking 2 months of modified citrus pectin twice a day for heavy metals with occasional breaks. 15.92, now it's 11.92, and it's going down. No other tests done, 10.6, but total T4, wow, 3.7, free T4 is 1.3, free T3, yeah, so your free T4, interesting, your total T4 is totally low, 3.7, you're in Canada. I'm not sure if these numbers, if they compare to what's in my head, hun, because, I mean, I know that T4, our range is 6 to 10 is the optimal range, and 3.7 is low, but the range, optimal range for free T4 is like 0.98 or 1 to like 1.8 or something, and yours is 1.3, so it's fine. Your free your T3 is very low, so I'd say conversion issue big time, so we want to look at that. Your TPO is 24. It's coming down. That's good. Okay, so what else? So it sounds like you're doing a lot of the right things. You're working on your gut, really important to work on that gut, and the heavy metals. And OxyCell is something you can actually put over your thyroid. It's got a lot of antioxidants, but very specifically works well with autoimmune, and you can actually put it right over your thyroid gland. In module part 5, I know you're in the thyroid, in part 5 there is a chart that will tell you some of the additional things you might do for autoimmune, some additional things. So I've looked up conversion, resistance, and autoimmunity, and see if there's some other specific herbs or nutrients that you could do, and make sure you're doing all the basic gut healing stuff. All the, you know, the chewing and the enzymes and probiotic and stuff like that, because you got to get that gut healed. But you're already on the elimination diet, but you're moving in the right direction. Concerned that your TSH is still, you know, 11.92, and I'm surprised you have as much energy as you do. But keep an eye on it, and I would test it again if you can in 2 months. Okay. Oh, that's why you're on T4, so you have a conversion issue. That's it. Okay, so conversion issues big time, because the T4 is going right to free T4. So that's good. You need some conversion. You need some possibly selenium, Brazil nuts, magnesium, zinc, and looking at your adrenals in terms of stress, that may be decreasing that conversion. Because it's not going down to 3T3. And I would guess if you did your reverse T3, it would be high. Powdered kelp and bladderwrack in the same smoothie. Yeah, I think all of those things. I like the idea of the massage of frankincense. But I would look at maybe OxyCell as a cream that you can rub on there. It's got glutathione and other things. And then look at the chart. So look at the chart for resistance, conversion, and autoimmune. And see what other things might be good to add. Okay. Let me see if there's anything else. I'll refresh one more time. I have another meeting in 3 minutes. Kim says, what do I recommend for a 4+4 E. coli on BioHealth? So, you know, getting your microbiome balanced, right? So E. coli might respond to things like a biocidin, which is a tincture that has a bunch of different herbs in it that are very helpful for breaking things down, antimicrobials, things like berberine. What I find is people get resistant, and the BioHealth doesn't test for resistance. So I would get 4 different antimicrobials that are known to be good for the gut and alternate them, 5 days on one, then 5 days on the next, and 5 days, and just do that and then start all over again so you don't develop resistance. So some of the ones you might look at would be berberine. You might look at biocidin, which has a lot of them in there, so you'd want to take that one alternating with the others just so you don't get too much. What else would be good? Golden seal or golden rod, which are good for the antimicrobial. Oregano, uva ursi sometimes can be helpful. And you know what I would recommend? Get the book Herbal Antibiotics by Buhner, B-U-H-N-E-R, and you can look up each individual one, and he'll show you which herbs have a correspondence to which of those. But make sure you alternate. That's the main thing I will say. All right. If you don't see any more, I do have a call in a minute. So, Lynn, I guess there wasn't anything. You guys look like you had a great conversation in here, back and forth. Okay, cool. I'll have to look at it. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to turn I'm going to open up your mic so everybody can say goodbye. Sandra and Jane came back on. I will not be able to answer your questions because I have another call in a minute, but hopefully there's a vital call later in the week. I think it's later in the week or next week that we can take those questions on. And Sandra, you can pop it into the Facebook group and ask your question there, okay? I'm going to unmute. Sorry about that. We ran out of time. All right, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
You soon. A lot of echoing, huh?